We're going to play a little bit of a game. It's called Good Day or Bad Day. And some dates are going to appear on the screen, dates or days. I'd like you to vote by raising your hand whether it's a good day or a bad day. Okay? Clear enough? Great. Okay, the first one is this. Christmas Day. Now, is it a good day? Raise your hand if you think it's a good day. All right. Okay, put your hands down. Bad day? Anyone? Any Scrooges? No, jolly good. Great stuff. Right, okay. Next day. The last day of the school term. Put your hand up if you think it's a good day. Okay. Some parents not so sure. Put your hands down. Bad day? Well, there's a time to be honest. Okay, yeah, bad day. Some people think it's a bad day. Good. The 3rd of May, 1997. That's a bit specific, that, isn't it? The 3rd of May, 1997. Does anyone know what that is? Louise? No. Nope, I think that was the 1st of May, actually. The 3rd of May was a few days later, actually. If you work it out, I think you can figure out what day it was. Can anyone remember what happened in May 1997, just after Tony Blair had become the Prime Minister? Well, I'll tell you, it was the last time we won the Eurovision Song Contest. So now it's time to vote. Good day? Anyone? Good day? Bad day? I'm even voting in this one. Right. Okay, next one. September the 1st, 1939. Does anyone know what happened on that date? Daniel. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, Germany invaded Poland on that day. So, yeah. Bad day or good day? Good day? Bad day?
Yeah.
Okay, August the 22nd, 1979. Does anybody know what happened on that day? Yeah, it was my birthday. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to look away. Good day? Bad day? Thanks, Tony. See what you've done? Do you see what you've done? That's my son. Right, okay, April the 10th. April the 10th, just in general, April the 10th. That's today. Who thinks today is a good day? Good day? Bad day, anyone? Bad day? Sure. Well, it was a bad day in 1968, because that was the day when Cliff Richard got to number one with Congratulations. That was definitely a bad day. Now, final day, Good Friday. Who thinks Good Friday is a good day? Put your hands up. Good Friday a good day? Yeah. Who thinks Good Friday was a bad day? Okay. Some of you are putting your hands up twice. Now, that's the thing I want to talk to you about for a few minutes. You see, we call Good Friday Good Friday, and yet we were just reading about some very bad things that happened on it. Let me remind you. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Good Friday, and yet there we have Jesus, the Son of God, dragging his own cross to his place of execution and being nailed to it. And yet, Good Friday was a good day. We're going to think of two or three reasons why it was a good day. The first one is this: it was a good day for Jesus. Oddly enough, it was a good day for Jesus because it was actually one of the days where he was declared to be king. Jesus was declared to be king. See, Pilate, in that reading that we read, he put a big sign above Jesus' head that said, "The King of the Jews." And he wrote it in three different languages, the main languages of the day, so that everybody could read what it said. And some of Jesus' enemies, they were upset, weren't they, in that reading, and they said, no, it shouldn't say the King of the Jews. It should say he said that he was the King of the Jews. We don't want people thinking he really is our king. And Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." It stays put. Jesus was hanging there on a cross, and yet he was declared to be king. And the Bible tells us that even though it was terrible, Jesus is dying on a cross is part of what makes him the king that he is. It's part of what makes him king. After all, you can't be a king unless you've got a kingdom, can you? And you can't have a kingdom unless it's full of people. And there, as he died on the cross, Jesus paid for the sins of his people so that they could be snatched out of Satan's kingdom and placed in his kingdom. See, as he was hanging there dying, Jesus won his kingdom. Jesus populated his kingdom. It was a good day for Jesus. Although he didn't look the part very much, there was no golden crown, there were no fine robes, there were no servants scurrying around doing his will, there was no castle, he didn't look much like a king. Actually, as he hung on the cross, it was one of his most kingly moments. Because on his cross, Jesus died and he saved all of his subjects. In other words, what looked really weak, the Bible tells us, was a moment of power. What looked like losing was actually Jesus winning. What looked like a bad day was actually a good day. So we're going to think and pray about that on our own for a moment. A question is going to appear on the screen. It says this. I want you to think about this in your own head. What sort of king would die to save his people? Come up with as many words as you can in your own head to describe what sort of king would die to save his people. And then turn those words, those answers to that question, into a prayer. Say that again in your own head. Something like this. Again, it'll appear on the screen. Something like this. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the king. Whatever it is you've come up with. So just have a think about that for a few moments on our own. And turn those answers to that question into prayers as we sit and think about Jesus, the king who died for his people.
Let me pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the loving king. And we pray as we listen to this next song sung for us that we would meditate and be nurtured in our hearts. You were crucified to save us, crucified to wash us clean. Your love and life were poured out, given, that we could be set free. And we pray, Lord, that you would take us back to the cross and show us the cost of our own sin and turn our eyes to Jesus again, to love him and to worship him as our King. Amen.
Well, there's nothing worse than being thirsty, is there? I'd like you to think back in your own head now to a time, perhaps the time when you've been the most thirsty. Close your eyes if it helps you to think. Maybe it was on a really, really hot day. The sun was beating down. Maybe you've been out for a walk in the peaks. Maybe you've been out playing sports and you'd just forgotten to have a drink for hours. You were so caught up in the fun. Maybe you've been out riding your bike. A time when you were really, really parched and the thing you most desperately wanted to do was run inside, go to the tap, turn on until it goes crystal cold and guzzle down a big drink of water. A time when you were really, really parched. Have you thought of it? Okay, now tuck that away to one corner. You'll need it in a moment. Good Friday was a good day. We've seen it was a good day for Jesus. He was declared king. It was also a good day for the spiritually needy. A good day for the spiritually needy. And that's because Jesus was thirsty so that we can drink. Jesus was thirsty so that we can drink. Let me just read one of those verses to you again. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. Lots of times in the Bible, people describe the experience of being cut off from God as being thirsty, spiritually thirsty, like being stuck out in a desert without water and dying of thirst. So remember that feeling of being thirsty that you had? Well, times that by 10. Tongue so dry that it sticks to the roof of your mouth. Throat feels like sandpaper every time you try and swallow. You've got no energy to keep going. You've got dry, flaky skin. A terrible feeling of being without what you desperately need in order to live. Water. That's what the Bible says. We are, spiritually speaking, without Jesus. There's nothing worse than being thirsty. Well, actually, yes, there is. There's being spiritually thirsty. Being cut off and far away from God. That's worse than being thirsty physically. And that's why on the cross Jesus cries out, "I thirst." He wanted everybody to know that he was spiritually thirsty at that moment. Well, surely he was actually just physically thirsty. He'd been hung on the cross for hours. You would get incredibly thirsty. I'm sure he was. But listen again to what John says. He says, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." All those times that people in the Old Testament had said that being cut off from God was like being thirsty and dying of it, Jesus experienced that in the full, in the extreme. Jesus was thirsty. He was cut off from God. He was cast into the wilderness, spiritually speaking. He was dry and parched and as far away from God's life-giving friendship as you and I deserve to be. He was dying of thirst. And why did he do that? So that you and I can drink the cool, clear, refreshing, living water of an eternal life of connection with God. That's why he did it. After that, he says something else. "It is finished." Maybe that was a cry of desperation. Well, actually, no, it was a cry of victory. It is done, gone, over, finished. What was finished? Well, the work he'd gone on the cross to do was finished. The work of paying for our sins. The work of dying for the sins of the world. The work of making a salvation plan. See, Jesus finished, and that means there's nothing left to do. Jesus finished, there's nothing left to do. It's another reason Good Friday is good. Sometimes when I do the washing up at home and I get to the end and I say, right, that's it, finished. Well, in reality, if I'd looked more carefully, you know, there's always a mug in some corner of a room somewhere, isn't there? There's always a pan that you've forgotten. There's always something else. For me, when I say it is finished, it usually means there's a little bit left for my wife Claire to do. It's kind of me, isn't it? Well, finished, when Jesus said it, he really meant it. There was nothing left to do. It is finished. He didn't go so far in forgiving our sins on the cross and then say, right, the rest of it is up to you now. You've got to be good enough. He didn't say, I'll do some of the job of saving you and bringing you back into a relationship with God, but then you've got to do the hard work. No, it is finished meant Jesus had done everything necessary. Jesus did everything needed to wipe away our sins forever. So, when we hear him cry, "It is finished," we should breathe a sigh of relief. We should smile with joy. We should hold our hands together and we should say, "Thank you." Good Friday is a good day if you're spiritually needy. And that's all of us, whether we realise it or not. You see, maybe you've come here this morning and you really are very, very aware that you're spiritually needy. You know that you've not lived the way you should have done this week. You know that you need Jesus' forgiveness. Maybe you feel very far away from God. And you'd love some of that living water. You know exactly that you need him. Or maybe you just didn't even realise. Maybe you'd been just carrying on with life, drifting along, ignoring God, and not even realising that you were doing it. Well, whoever we are, this morning, Jesus' death is for us. Jesus died so that we can drink. Jesus finished, so there's nothing left for us to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. It's going to come up on the screen. We're going to do it together. The first bit I'm going to say, most of it's come from a book right at the very end of the Bible. It's something that God says to us. I'm going to say that out. And then the words that will appear on the next screen, if we could just see them, Jeff, we'll say them together. And they're just a way of us saying, yep, I realise that I'm spiritually thirsty. Yep, I realise that I need what Jesus did for me on the cross. I want some of that living water. Okay, so let's do that. God says to us, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. So, we say to God, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Amen.